Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the Zudio in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring two guys flapping gums and being chums, Kevin and Mikey.
Everybody, welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today we continue our series called Head of the Heist.
Head of the Heist! Caper Crew!
We're putting together a caper crew, and funnily enough, it was originally suggested by the Dallas Retro Gamers Group around Christmas time, and I said, Mikey, we should do this, and then 6 months later we decided to do this, and I forgot that it was video game themed. So Mikey started doing video game characters, and I came up with a whole bunch of TV characters like a dummy.
No, and we're nerds. We're adding extra limitation where they aren't really needed, but it's making it more fun. Extra fun. More rules.
So Mikey's picking video game characters for his caper crew, and I'm picking only live-action television characters for my caper crew. So we've done... most of them, except for we have one left after this one, right? The mastermind, the leader.
The leader after this, and then our text right now, but we've done three so far,
So we have some muscle, we have a driver, and we have a distraction, the lookout.
The decoy, the bait.
Yeah. Slash, slash, slash. That one has lots of slashes.
It does. It's almost like the red shirt. Like, we don't have to give them a name because we know they're going to die first, but we need them on our team.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so but today is tech brains, which can be many, many things, just like the decoy and stuff, but basically man in the chair or the person who makes you things to help you get into the secure areas or both. So what do you got, Mikey, on your tech and brains? Now, we were talking earlier, and we thought that this might be a little easier for the video game stuff because there are so many video games where they have a man on the chair for you.
This is true.
Help you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is sort of a trope, not only a trope in movies and TV, but video games especially, because it's easy for video game makers to tie in, like, hey, the person in charge of your mission is also the person that tells you what button does what and where to go, and, like, let's figure it out. So I did have a little bit of an edge there, but brains and tech is such a broad label. Like, as far as the heist crew go, I had to figure out where the Venn diagram overlapped because there are some cool characters. I had one honorable mention that I'll say right now that isn't one of my picks because did you play the Arkham Asylum Batman games?
I did not, no.
Okay. Well, they're really good. They're kind of Batman crossed with Grand Theft Auto, like open world going around missions. You have side missions and all that. And there's an excellent man in a chair, except it's a woman in a chair. It's Oracle, but that comes from the comic books. So it was a property before it was ever video games, and that was kind of the caveat for the original post. So it was like, ugh. So now I got to think of like video game only properties, but I sort of stuck with that robot tutorial teacher like voice in the background. They're not really part of the team, but they're kind of part of the team. So we'll see how it goes.
All right, so what's you got at your third pick?
For my third pick, the easy one, this comes from a series of games called Borderlands. There's a whole bunch of them. I think there's five of them now. But the character in there that most is the techie and the brains and sort of your robot companion throughout the world is a little robot called Claptrap.
Claptrap.
Claptrap. And what a Claptrap is essentially it's a sentient, walking, rolling, foul-mouthed trash can. It looks like a little receptacle that you could put your trash in. There's nothing to it. But Claptrap in the world of Borderlands was the funniest character to me because it's essentially a robot that it's post-apocalyptic. It's the end of the world. The game is silly in itself, but Claptrap specifically would tell you what to do, but with a sarcastic tone, or ask you for a favor, but then give you a little bit of guff about having to accomplish it. You know, he's always just sort of poking at you and chafing at you, but that's hilarious to me. So having a trash can that isn't really a person, it's just a little robot that's going around trying to help, but also causing a little bit of havoc is hilarious to me. So Claptrap is my third pick for my tech and brains of the operation.
You must be a R2-D2 fan, because I'm pretty sure most of those whistles are bad language.
I would believe it. If that is part of the fan theory for R2-D2, is that he says a lot of crap because he can get away with it because it's all whistles and bleeps. But I know he's cursing out at least half the humans because he's so smart. He's been around for the prequels, the sequels, mm-hmm. and the OT.
Especially when he'll say something to C-3PO, and C-3PO will get really angry. So
it's essentially that same attitude when you're talking about Claptrap. And I guess I love a rebellious robot. I don't know. But the reason he's third pick is because Claptrap is a little bit more cantankerous than he is useful. Whereas R2-D2 has his cantankerous moments and he's whistling at people that's probably robot swears. But R2-D2 still saves the day, you know,
yeah.
the rest of the time. Claptrap seems to be more of a hindrance than he is a help. So that's why he's in third pick. But still, it's that it's that attitude. It's like, fine, I'll help you, but I'm gonna insult you along the way.
That's great. I haven't really played those games. Are those PlayStation only games, or are those on everything?
Those are on everything. Those,
oh, okay.
And relatively new, because they came out, like, once they sort of stopped, like, they still do console exclusives, but they've sort of loosened up on that in the recent years, you know, because they realized, hey, if our game's on all consoles, we make more money. So
yeah,
Borderlands is along that line where it's available. It's not exclusive to anything, but Borderlands is great because for as much as it's like a Fallout game or Call of Duty, because it's a first-person shooter, it takes place in the apocalypse. The thing about it is it's really funny. Like, it's sarcastic, it's insulty, it's stand-up comic-y. It's just everything they do in that game. The weapons have funny names. They do funny things. So there's a little pinch of absurdity to the post-apocalyptic narrative, you know, that kind of thing.
Why has no one ever told me to play this game? It sounds like it's right up my alley.
You would probably dig it. I think the biggest detractor for some people was that it was cel-shaded, and that's a very specific art style. So you either are on board, or because it's cartoony. But
yeah.
I'm a big fan of that art style, but I think that was the divisive factor. You either enjoyed how it looked or you didn't. But the actual content of the game, Borderlands, is worth every minute and penny you spend on it. It's a good time.
Okay, well, that might be something I might look into next, though I haven't even started playing. I downloaded Black Flag Assassin's Creed because I wanted to be a pirate, and then I never, it's just sitting there waiting for me to play it because I got distracted playing other things because I got distracted. I went back to playing Anthem again.
Yeah, that is the nerd cross to bear, is you're into so many things and you're like, oh, I have a backlog. Well,
yeah,
I'll get to it.
Too much. And speaking of too much, so for
your third
pick. So television shows, they have lots of these characters, but my struggle is that a lot of them are in newer shows and I don't watch a lot of newer shows.
Okay.
I'm kind of like an old school TV guy. I mean, but there's tons of them. There's so many of these, like, hacker types, men in the chair types, tech types, and shows that have been critically acclaimed and people love them over the past like 10 years or something. And I've had kids and I'm not watching like these procedural shows. Most of them are like procedural shows and stuff. You know, you got stuff like the CSIs and the 24s and the, all these things. And they all have these characters in them. And I haven't watched a lick of those shows. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend like, oh, this great character that I know everyone loves, like that tattooed girl from that one show that...
NCIS, anyway. Yep, I know who you're talking about.
Right. So, but I know they exist, but I'm not going to pick them not knowing anything about them. So, because we're genuine on this podcast.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So I went with someone from a newer show that I actually know about, because it was something that my kids kind of got into until it went all wibbly wobbly wonkily, and we'll talk about it, but
timey wimey stuff.
This character always gave me a chuckle and I thought he was always amusing, so I'm like, I'll pick that guy as my number three. So we've talked about before how Marvel does movies good, but DC seems to do TV shows pretty okay. And most of those TV shows are on the CW, and a lot of them are very in the they need to bow down to Joss Whedon and Buffy and those kind of shows, because it's basically like really gorgeous people with superpowers, you know, dealing with their relationships slash whatever evil enemy is around, right?
I believe it.
And one of those shows that my kids got into, for whatever reason, I don't know why they picked this one, but they got into The Flash.
Ooh, The Flash is good. Okay.
On CW. So, and on The Flash, one of the characters is Cisco Ramon, and he's the tech guy, man in the chair, who works at Star Labs, and he's like the wisecracking, kind of funny t-shirt wearing. He's very much like a Wash from Firefly type guy.
Oh, I love
it. You know?
Yep.
Where he's like, he's kind of the comic relief. Everyone's like real serious, but he's always has the joke to crack. And one of the things that always endeared me about him is that he was super big on wanting to give the metahumans their name, like whatever like their nickname was.
Yep, yep.
So basically in The Flash, I'll just break down a little bit of The Flash just in case people are listening are like, what are you talking about? What happens in The Flash?
Give it to
so
me.
So it's fairly simple. It's a simple origin story as far as The Flash goes. So Star Labs is making like some kind of particle accelerator, and it has like this accident when it blows particles all over the tri-state area or whatever. And a whole bunch of people get infused with superpowers.
Okay.
And one of them, of course, is ends up becoming the Flash, and he's using it for good. And for some reason, every bloody buddy else is like using it for evil. So anyway, really, it's really that simple. So, so Cisco is like the man in the chair, the man in the ear of the Flash while he's running around doing stuff. And since it's, they're encountering all these new metahumans who they don't really have names yet, so Cisco wants to name them. So he's always coming up with whatever names they are from whatever comic books. And then as the series goes on, he finds out that he's been affected too. And he is the – there's a DC Comics character called Vibe, and that's who he is, which is like – he has the ability to manipulate vibrational energy of reality, which basically means he can see alternate dimensions and alternate outcomes. It's kind of like what...
Wait. Pause.
What?
He has the power to see vibrations so he can see, like, time and space is what you're telling me?
He can manipulate the vibrational energy of reality.
Okay. So he has the power to manipulate time, the time-space continuum. Okay, sorry.
Basically.
I'm with
basically.
You.
But it's not powerful enough that he can just straight up change stuff, but he can kind of do the Doctor Strange, let me figure out all the possibilities.
Okay, I got you.
Type thing.
Yep.
And they kind of use him to introduce the multiverse thing. And this is where the show kind of went off the rails for the family. because what happened is they started doing, and again, this is why I say bow down to the altar of Joss Whedon and Buffy and stuff. They started really crossing over all their shows, like The Arrow and all this kind of stuff. And they cross over to the point that if you didn't go and watch the episodes of the other show, you'd have no idea what the heck was going on in the show that you liked.
Oh, so they were actually heavily dependent on those crossover elements.
Right, okay. Right. So you'd have to go watch the Arrow episodes that were related to figure out what's... And it was basically like... I mean, it's kind of a comic book thing. You have to go buy that other comic book to see what's happening. I mean, it's fine, but it got a little tedious for us. And then they started doing the thing where the multiple universes, the multiverse, and like there's this Earth and that Earth and that other Earth and this person from this one, so they can go back and fix that thing. And it got to the point where it was like, it seemed like the writers were like, we don't like where this plot line is going. Let's go back and start over again.
We're taking a left turn. Come with us. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, they do that in the comic books. It's comic book stuff, which is fine. But
and that's props to DC, because like you're saying, we've said it a few times already, but that is a comic book thing. And yes, it was kind of a marketing move to get exposure to other sort of properties, but it's cool when you just twist up all those storylines. Like, I never watched Flash, like you were saying, but I have watched Arrow, so I know some of the Flash story because of the crossover with Arrow. So Arrow went over the top. I've never seen Flash, but I can imagine Flash went over the top, and it's just crazy that they're doing it the comic book way where we're like, hey, we're going to tie everything together, but I can see how, as a nerd, you're like, all right, let's just get along with it.
Yeah, it got kind of wibbly-wobbly for us and stuff. And then they started getting, they're teenagers, so they started getting, some of the stuff would get a little steamy, and they'd be like, oh, okay, I don't want to watch this with my parents around right now.
Yep. But got to have that romance love triangle in there to keep the narrative moving.
Even though they sit there and watch Sabrina with us, fine. I don't know. I guess when demons are involved, I don't know.
When it's supernatural, it's okay. But when it's real life, it's like, oh, boring.
Anyway, that's Cisco Ramon from The Flash is my number three.
Very cool. Is that the guy that played Ed in NBC, the Ed show? Who is Cisco Ramon? Do you know the actor? Do you have it in your notes?
Oh, his name's Carlos Valdez.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm thinking of the wrong guy, but I know who you're talking about.
I don't know if he's been in anything else, but he's got long hair, wears hipster t-shirts.
But he's my favorite man in the chair because there are some shows that do it properly, like even movies too, with Spider-Man Far From Home. His Peter's buddy Ned is like, hey, can I be your man in the chair? And Peter's like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, I want to be Mission Control. I want to be the guy you talk to. Can I be your man in the chair? And you're like, what? So when they take that role and they take that trope and they actually make it a nerd who cracks wise and is just one of us in that position, I love to see it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
Yep.
But that means that's your third pick. That is a great third pick. So we are on to second picks, which means it is my turn. I'm going to flip my coin again, my double-headed coin that's loaded for me. My second pick comes from the series Portal. Have you played the Portal video game?
I have not played Portal, but I am super aware of it.
Oh, it's in the zeitgeist for sure.
It's a puzzle game. That's why I can't hang.
you're not a fan of puzzle games?
No, I'm not.
I get it. Yeah, I get that attitude 100%. But if you're gonna,
I was burned on the Sierra games back in the day.
The Monkey Island and the
gosh. I was so frustrated. There's no internet to look anything up. It was so hard.
I'll tell you this, the reason, and I'm with you 100%, because you, like, there are some points in those games where you're like, what am I supposed to do? And there's no way you're going to know what to do without the internet or some walkthrough or some guide that you buy.
Yeah, you had to buy a book.
But what Portal did right is that they made that type of game that didn't seem like that type of game. The first Portal, you can get halfway through the game and it just seems like it's over. But they did that thing where it's like, oh, it's a twist. It's actually a puzzle. The game doesn't end. So make a decision that we weren't going to tell you about unless you look at the internet or buy a book. And then you can continue the rest of the game. So it's like, what is going on? But with Portal 2, which is the second installment in the series, but Portal 2 gave you sort of a sarcastic, silly, joke-making buddy to help you get through it. So all those frustrations you have where you're like, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? In Portal 2, they actually made a character that comes in and says, hey, dummy, go left. Or, hey, dummy, go right. Or, do this.
Oh.
And it is a character called Wheatley, who is a robot, but he's voiced by the actor Stephen Merchant. Do you recognize the name Stephen Merchant?
I do recognize the name. Why do I recognize the name?
Because he's one of our favorites. He's one of the people in our favorite zones of British comedy. Stephen Merchant comes from the class of Ricky Gervais and Richard Ayoade and Chris O'Dowd. He is in that class of British comedian that's sort of like second wave Monty Python almost?
Yes.
Okay. So he is the voice of this robot character in this puzzle game. As much as he's helping you out, this robot is also cracking wise and being sarcastic and being, if this is offensive to our British listeners, I apologize, but he's being very super British about his robot role. He's like, well, I guess I could help you, but what's in it for me? Oh, you could go that way, but are you sure you want to go that way? Maybe you want to go the other way. But Wheatley is a personality core, which is terms that come from Portal, but what he is he's a robot that's in charge of the whole system that has you entrapped. That you have to figure out the puzzles to get out of, and he just messes with you the entire way. But he's also helping you out the entire way. So as far as a heist teammate goes, I kind of like the gives you a little bit of crap, you know, has a little bit of fun, but still gets the job done. So Stephen Merchant as Wheatley, he sort of fits that role, but he's a little too snarky to be number one. But he would be a fun contestant to at least try out in my heist team.
Yeah, so I went and looked. So people are sitting there going, you're such a dummy. I went and looked up Steven Merchant. I see his face now. I know exactly who you're talking about. He is like basically, he does stuff with, he's Ricky Gervais's right-hand man, basically. He does, he writes exactly. things with him, does stuff with him.
Yep.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I've seen him in so much stuff before. He's hilarious, yeah.
He's like a Sam Rockwell where you may not recognize the name, but once you see his face, you're like, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
Because he's tall and lanky. He's got the very British demeanor. He's got the spectacles, but... he was in the UK version of The Office. He was in Hot Fuzz. He was in The Good Place. He was in Extras with Ricky Gervais. Yep. Extras is great, but...
Extras is great.
So the fact, I mean, I guess this is more of an advertisement to go play Portal 2, but the fact that they got that quality of voice actor to play this sort of background character, your man in the chair for this game, is... just above and beyond, because he sells every aspect of it. It's great.
Well, yeah, Portal was huge. I mean, I kind of missed out on it, obviously, because I mean, I know the whole Cake is a Lie thing was like a huge deal. And yep. I mean, it was all over the place. Maybe I need to give it a look, because I just hear puzzle game and I'm like, no.
I would say, here's my nerd argument. I would say give it a second look, because for as much as you're not wrong, it is a puzzle game. It's like the Monkey Island games where you sort of have to figure out what's the twist in the level that I'm playing. But what Portal does is, because it's first person and you have these sort of auxiliary characters, it just creates this world. You're like, what the hell is going on? Like, I know things are weird, but... I don't know how weird yet. And then the further you get, you're like, holy crap, it's all weird. So it's worth your time.
Okay, maybe. I'm not sure if I'm sold. Anyway. All right, that's your number two. My number two pick from the world of television. This is kind of a wonky pick. I could have put it at three, but it just got bumped up because of nostalgia. I think it probably should have been three, and then Cisco should have been two, but this is like nostalgia.
Nostalgia counts.
All the way. So... I picked someone who's an old school tech. I don't know if he'd be able to do anything with computers, but he can do something with a paperclip and a stick of gum. And
oh, that is yes.
MacGyver.
MacGyver. I knew it when you said paperclip and a stick of gum.
Yes. MacGyver, played by Richard Dean Anderson from the show MacGyver. I'm picking OG MacGyver, the 80s into 90s MacGyver. That show was on like 7 years, 85 to 92. Jeez.
85 to 92. That's way more season than I thought MacGyver had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know that there's a reboot now, and I know it's like going into its like fifth season, so I think people like it, and that's fine, but I don't care. That's not MacGyver. MacGyver is Richard Dean Anderson, man.
It
MacGyver's
is.
The 80s.
That feathered hair and that leather jacket.
Yes. Coolest guy ever. He was from Minnesota. He had hockey hair, and they showed him playing hockey and stuff too in it. Yeah,
he did have hockey hair. That's hilarious. Yeah. I didn't realize it. You said it right now, but that.
Right. You take Mike Modano from the Dallas Stars' face and put it on his hair as it fits. It's the same hair. It's the exact same hair.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So I don't know how you can't know who MacGyver is, maybe if you're overseas, but I mean, it's become part of the American lexicon. Like, MacGyver is a word for, they used to call it jerry-rigging, they used to call it all kinds of stuff like that, but now it's just, hey, MacGyver that, man.
Let's MacGyver it, make it work, yeah.
Yeah, so... Basically, he was a guy who worked for the Phoenix Foundation in Los Angeles, never really explained what it was. It was supposed to be an independent think tank, whichever that means, but he would always be investigating things, getting himself into situations, sometimes overseas and stuff. It was crazy. It was like whatever they needed him to do, whatever they needed, he would just get in these situations. He'd always end up... The tropes were the same thing happened every episode. He'd end up getting captured because he didn't never use guns or anything.
Okay. Yeah.
And they'd end up instead of putting him in like a prison cell, they'd always put him in like some kind of like shed or a basement. And very
some convenient location where he can MacGyver himself out of it.
Yes, exactly. There'd be stuff in there. And he'd MacGyver himself, and he'd do ridiculous things. He'd like making like he'd have like a tarp and a propane tank,
some cotton balls, and some twine,
and he'd make like a glider. You know what I mean? And like fly away. It was crazy. So, but
what you're saying is that MacGyver was a free agent, or was he part of some group? I missed that.
He was part of the Phoenix Foundation. Okay. Whatever. The heck.
Okay.
The beautiful thing about 80s shows is they just explained it enough for you to willingly suspend your disbelief, and then they left it there.
Yeah.
They
didn't go too deep. It's like, figure it out for yourself. This all makes sense, but you gotta, it's all
on you. Yeah, you couldn't even look it up on the internet or anything. So you're just like, whatever. They didn't have the time to explain anything, really. They're just like, yeah, it's this guy.
Yeah. We got 27 minutes. Let's move it along.
They'd explain it in the hour-long pilot, and if you didn't see the pilot, well, you're just kind of out of luck.
Yep.
You know?
Just hop on board.
They do the thing at the beginning, like, I don't think MacGyver did it, but they do the thing at the beginning of, like, the A-Team.
Oh, yeah,
where they would explain what was happening. But they also would do the thing where they would have the montage beginning of the program, you know, with the music, you know.
Show you what they're capable of.
MacGyver had the explosion and the and they would show everything, him doing stuff. And you'd be like, oh, okay. This is what he is. He's this guy.
I believe it.
With this hockey hair and this leather jacket, and he can he can build stuff out of things, and he does stuff. So it's just the whole point of him is that he can take any situation and turn it to his advantage. So whatever you need to break into or get into or get out of, he's going to be able to figure it out. He's not really a man in the chair, but he's definitely a guy who can figure out just about anything, because he'd get into places and he was sneaky and he had all this training that I don't even know where it came from and I don't really care, you know. But MacGyvering this selection
and the fact that that's a joke just is an attribute to the actual character of MacGyver, because the joke is, hey, just MacGyver it, just figure it out, make it work. But the person that always did that was MacGyver. That's hilarious.
Yes. So yes. My second selection, I'm MacGyvering it.
It almost seems like cheating, because I don't think I've ever seen a MacGyver episode where MacGyver fails.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't. He never. It doesn't happen.
And they put the limitation on him that he doesn't like guns, because he had an incident when he was a kid with a gun, so he doesn't use them.
Jim Rockford.
Just like Rockford. It was like an 80s thing. I don't know what the deal was, but whatever. I think it's because there were so many gun-toting characters that they, by putting that limitation on them, it made them interesting, probably.
I get it. I'm curious about the zeitgeist, though, because it does seem like that was an 80s thing of like, hey, we're toning down guns, but we're going to tone up smarts and gadgetry and like personal know-how. So,
yeah,
very interesting.
Maybe. The A-Team probably ruined it because they were toning up guns and never hitting anything.
Things are going to explode for no reason, but it's going to be awesome.
Never hit anything.
And the worst, that the bad guys only come out with bruises and scrapes, be like, wow, you totally blew us up, but we're still alive and we're sorry.
I know. An entire like little shed would explode into flames and the guys would come like stumbling out, holding their heads.
But I remember that being the same case for MacGyver. It was kind of like Batman. Like for as much destruction as MacGyver caused, he never killed anybody, you know?
No.
That almost seems like cheating because MacGyver seems like he can get out of everything, but that is a great second pick. Wonderful.
Yeah. Thanks.
But we are now on to first picks. First picks, top of the top.
I'm so ready. I have a thought of what my video game first pick would have been, so I'm interested to see what yours is.
I'm interested to see how you top MacGyver, because I really don't know who's better than MacGyver, so we're in the same boat. Because you said MacGyver, I'm like, oh, that's the perfect pick. Who's better than MacGyver? But anyway. For my first pick, I went with kind of a default, and I hope it's something that a lot of other people thought first when they thought of the man in the chair, the tech in the brains, the person that's behind the scenes and helping you out. For me, I guess this is generational and foundational, but for me, it's Cortana from Halo.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Yay, good.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate benefit. Cortana is the best. She is the best. Not only is she a cute robotic chick, they gave her some sort of like human representation just for the benefit of gamers, but she is the benevolent AI that can travel with you in your helmet. She can go into the computer system when you put the chip in. She like throughout playing the Halo games, there really is nothing that she can't do, kind of like MacGyver. If there is something that she can't do, then it's to serve the narrative of the game and to make you do it as the player, you know, that sort of thing.
Yep.
But I love that idea of just, As much as I'm against Alexa and Siri being part of our modern world, I am okay with Cortana being part of the Halo world and just being that sort of ever-helpful, omnipresent AI help, you know?
Yes.
So, Halo Master Chief, if you haven't heard of it by now, that's on you, because Halo's been around for a long time. But Cortana, like we were saying at the beginning of the episode, Cortana is the device in the Halo games that sort of tells you what to do and tells you where to go. But as you progress through the Halo series, Cortana becomes your, like, the man on your six, the man you can't live without, because she's there helping you when you need to open a door or hack into a computer system. She's the one that does it. And you don't realize it until you play through the series a second time, I guess, but she's crucial to everything because of how much she helps facilitate what needs to be done. But she's always there. So, like, that's why she's on my heist team, because I like the benefit of having sort of the AI you can inject to the bank computer or the high-rise computer. You know, she can infiltrate any system that you're happen to crack, or, you know, you're trying to crack a safe or office building. She can help you out. There's really no limitations because she's all digital. She can go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Oh, I love it.
That's the scene. That's the perfect. I can't. Even, that's the perfect pick. That's the one I was thinking. The Halo games are so freaking good. I mean, those are pinnacle of video gaming in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's Microsoft's best thing they've ever done, I think. And they've invented home PCs, basically. But I think that Halo is it's so good. It's so rich. It's so deep. They've gone and they put backstories on that whole thing where you find out that Cortana's actually isn't she like the actual brain of the creator of the Spartans?
Yep, she's a part of it. It all ties together.
Yeah, and the way she looks, actually, she looks like her daughter or something like that. There's a whole thing.
She looks like the creator's daughter. I think it's one of those homage things. Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, it's that kind of stuff that they went back and did that stuff, because those were in the later games. Those were in, like, the
Reaches in your Halo 4. Reach. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was trying to think of the ODS, OT, OD, I can't, I don't know.
OTSD? OSTD.
Yeah.
One of those acronyms.
I don't know, the numbers are like, what? But, yeah, wow, that is the perfect number one pick. I don't think anyone could argue with that as far as video games goes.
Especially because, like, the thing that made me think about it is that she's always omnipresent, but the early entries in the first series, like, I think it starts with Halo 1 and carries into Halo 2, but they give you a couple missions where she isn't around. Like, you get so used to her being there, and then they're like, hey, you're going to do two missions without this man in the chair, without your buddy, and you're like, this is so weird. I feel so out of my element. I need my tech and my brains to help me out. And it just shows you how crucial she is. So
this right here, though, proves, and I'm talking to you, Scooter. this proves why it's good that we're doing two separate things, because we would have butted on this one and then podcast over. Same number one. Have a nice day. All right.
We would have matched. That's great. That means I picked the right pick, though. That's great.
All right, now you're saying, like, who's my number one? Wouldn't MacGyver be the best number one? You're probably right, but my number one, I'm kind of pulling again. I've been doing this the whole time. I call it pulling a Mikey.
Yeah, yeah.
It's someone I want on the team just because I want him there, and it's someone I didn't even think about until I did the last pick, which was one of my funny picks. So I want my man in the chair. I want my tech guy.
Yes.
To be Maurice Moss.
Oh, yes.
From the IT crowd.
From the IT crowd.
Because he's perfect when you think about it.
Yes.
He's perfect. So we talked about the IT crowd last time, the British sitcom that is just so wonderful. And if you haven't watched it, just pause the podcast, watch all of it, and then come back again, because it's beautiful. Maurice Moss is played by Richard Ayoade, who himself is a delightful creature. I'm so glad he exists on this planet. I don't know if you've seen his Travel Man show.
I haven't.
That he does. I think it's on Hulu, and it's like he picks a friend of his who's usually a stand-up comedian, British stand-up comedian or sitcom star, from Britain, and he takes them 48 hours on a weekend trip somewhere. Oh. Only 48 hours. You have to pack it in.
I love it.
And he always goes in the off seasons. So it's hilarious that they're, like, in Venice wearing, like, parkas. Anyway, it's so him. So anyway, this is another case of brilliant casting of a show being that, hey, let's just find someone who's like one degree away from being this crazy person. You know, let's find a normal person who's one degree away from being this crazy. That's why Parks and Rec was so good. I think this is why the It Crowd is so good.
Yep.
I call it the It Crowd. I know it's called the IT Crowd.
IT Crowd. But
Maurice Moss, let's break this down. Who's Maurice Moss? Maurice Moss is one of the two. Well, technically there's three of them because there's our goth buddy hiding in the back, but he's one of the IT guys for Renholm Industries working in the basement. And of all of them, he's the most typically nerdy, but also the most capable and able.
Yeah, the most knowledgeable, but the most nerdy for sure.
Yeah. And with that nerdiness, he is a classic nerd. He's got that social awkwardness. He's totally into all the things nerds are into, video games, role-playing games, tabletop stuff, the fantasy, science fiction, and he could care less about football or anything like that.
It's a ludicrous display.
Yeah, he's the one who taps out on that. He's like, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, I've done my bit.
And it's just, listen, he's got all these skills that come up as you're watching the series. So, and this is a farce. It's a funny show. It's great. But like we said, he's obviously a genius because he does all these things. He's really capable. So he's an inventor. He invents, he invents the perfect bra that will never go bad.
He invents the perfect bra. Is that what you said?
Yeah, you remember
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
But then it has an overheating problem that he can't cause. He also invents a little ladder for moths to get out of the tub.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Oh, man. And they show that he's a genius level intellect. They show him doing like complex mathematics in his head.
Yep.
They show him using the computer to easily hack into things, get behind firewalls, all that kind of stuff. He can build all this high-tech stuff. He constructs. he makes the Renholm has electric pants, which is
electric
British for underwear.
Yes, electric underpants.
Oh my gosh, it's just ridiculous, you know. And not to put it, he also has a slight superpower where he can smell anything.
Yes,
even odorless things he can detect them. But anyway, though he wasn't used in a heisty way, in a man in the chair way, he is eminently, totally, and 100% capable of being placed in that situation of a heist film.
I'm with you.
Or in and sitting there, and he wouldn't skip a beat on knowing how to use the technology. He wouldn't skip a beat on being able to download the schematics and figure out ways around things. And like I said, like we said last week, he's Johnny on the spot. Here come the police. How are we going to keep the police from noticing us? Let's start making out. You know?
But that is just in the humor of the IT Crowd. Him and Chris O'Dowd are definitely the type of characters that, yes, they'll figure out the solution to the problem, especially in a heist situation. But you can almost guarantee that it'll happen maybe inadvertently or almost by accident. Like, they'll do it right, but they'll be like, oh, yeah, I figured it out. I guess this works. Uh-oh.
And like we said, the IT Crowd is a meme factory, and I think the most famous meme that you may have seen, if you haven't seen the show, with Moss in it, is the "I'll put this over here with the other fire," where something's on fire and then he has a fire extinguisher that's on fire and he decides to put it over here with the other fire.
I think I've sent out the meme on my text message groups as well, where it's Richard Ayoade, who the character we're talking about, but it's just there's a trash can on fire and he's still working at his computer. It's like, all right, things are on fire. Here's how it goes.
Yeah. That's part of that meme. That's another version of that's the same scene. Got a lot of meme mileage out of the stuff's on fire scene. That's the one too, where like the British government had changed their 911 number to some really complex number.
Yeah.
That had a rhyme to go with it. And of course, Moss is a genius and he remembered it. But I think he did actually email the fire service or something.
That's how Moss operates. I get it.
But anyway, I think he would be perfect and fun to be. And I just want Richard Iotti as Moss in my team with Mr. T and Bill Burr and James Garner.
Oh, it'd be the best. Plus, to further your argument, I was wondering how you were going to top MacGyver, but knowing Moss, the character as he exists in the IT crowd, I'm pretty sure he's seen every episode of MacGyver and has committed it to memory, and so somehow knows how to do all those, like, solutions and figure out the problem just because it was like, oh, I saw MacGyver do it. I can probably do it. Let's give it a try.
You are 100% correct. You're 100% right.
So you're getting MacGyver with the added uber nerd behind it. Oh, I love it.
Whoa. Yeah. Oh, well, this has been a fun one, y'all. So, hey, we want to know who you guys want to be your man in the chair in your heist team. And you can let us know on our social medias at Assuming Pod. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can also Gmail us, assumingpositions@gmail.com. I think next week we're in our final episode of this series where we will talk about the mastermind, the leader, as it were.
This is going to be so hard for me. Who's going to control a turtle in a cloud, a giant gorilla, a robot? Like, I don't think I have any human character so far other than Cortana. So I really don't know who's going to be in
charge.
She's
not even.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to be in charge of this ragtag group, so this is going to be great, but we are picking leaders.
Yeah, this is, she's not even human. So get your leaders ready for next week, everybody. We want to thank you so much for listening. We know stuff's getting crazy out there again, so we hope you're being safe and listening to all the authorities.
Yep, and washing your hands and covering your smiles.
Yes, please do. We want everyone to make it through this, and we will. Make it through this.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for listening. We also want to thank That Guy Brad for doing our announcing, Not Scott Productions for our equipment, Jazzar for doing our music, and we hope you all have a great, safe week. I was going to say go steal something, but we don't want to encourage people to do that.
You don't have to steal something, but hey, maybe support your friend that's going to steal something and be the man in the chair that's searching the internet for problems.
Oh, man. Hashtag don't do that. Anyway.
Hashtag hack the mainframe.
No. Okay. Have a great one. Bye.
Bye.
He has the ability to sound like I was talking backwards.